Your siblings in Christ, beloved in the Lord, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. When we're listening to those two lessons that we just heard, the one from St. Paul's letter to the church in Rome and then from that gospel also, we hear so many things that seem so conflicting. St. Paul's letter is all about love and hating what is evil and doing the right thing and living a Christly life, how to share God's love with all the world. And then we hear that lesson from Matthew, where Jesus is talking to St. Peter, and where Peter does what Peter does so well. I love St. Peter. If you've ever heard me preach about St. Peter before, you know that he is my favorite disciple, apostle of the Lord. Because Peter is just so amazingly ridiculous. I mean, he is really so foolish in some of the things that he does. St. Peter opens his mouth at the wrong time and says things. St. Peter tries to go against, like we heard today, what Jesus is saying, this is what's going to happen. And Peter says, God forbid it, Lord, no. To the point where Jesus has to say, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. Peter is the same one that we heard about a few weeks ago, who when Jesus was walking to the disciples on the water, Peter says, Jesus, tell me to come out and I'll come out and join you on the water. And Jesus says, come on out and join me on the water. And Peter steps out, and as soon as the wind blows, Peter goes sinking down because he lost faith in that moment. Peter is the same disciple who, as they were all gathered together at the Last Supper, Jesus says, one of you will deny knowing me three times. And within that 24-hour span, even though Peter said, no, Lord, I would never do that, Peter is the one who does it. And yet through it all, through all of his fantastic errors, through all of the mistakes and the blunders that Peter makes, Jesus still loves him. Jesus forgives him. Jesus gives him another chance. Jesus builds the very church on Peter. That foolish, ridiculous, flawed disciple. That's why I love Peter so much. I relate to him 100%. I figure if God can use someone like Peter, I'm doing pretty okay. I say the wrong thing at the wrong time, I lose my faith as soon as the wind blows, but Jesus still loves me, just like he still loved Peter. In the lesson that we heard from St. Paul, we hear about that love that Jesus has for all God's people. That love that is unwavering even when we ourselves are wavering. We heard about that in those beautiful letters from St. Paul to the church in Rome. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Live peaceably with all. St. Paul goes on and on, making this beautiful list to the church 2,000 years ago about what it means to love. With the way that the world is going right now, the world, our country, our city, within ourselves, it's so easy to lose sight of the love that is in our lives. It's so easy for our brains to get weighed down, for us to be burdened by the chaos and the pain and the heartache that we see in the world around us. And it's so easy for us to make these mad lists of all the things that are breaking our hearts and tearing our spirits. But we need to come back to things like this, this passage from Romans, where Paul gives us this list of love. This list of love needs to be so central in our lives, especially at a time like this. So what is love? What would our lists of love look like now? What would it be if we just heard the word love? What are some of those images that come to mind. And I'm not just talking about the ooh, pitter-patter sort of love. I'm talking about those things that set our hearts on fire with joy. Those things that just make us feel whole and good and complete. What is it that would be on our list of love? Turning on the music, listening to your favorite artist just non-stop, letting whatever type of music that is just fill you up and bring about all of your emotions. Things like remembering favorites, Mr. Rogers and Sesame Street and Mary Poppins, those people who are just good and pure deep down inside and just makes you feel good. The beauty of outdoors, the blue sky and fresh air, smells that we smell and it brings us back to a time and a place, the smell of freshly baked bread, the smell of lavender and roses and other flowers that are coming through, these things that awaken our senses and fill our hearts with joy. What are those things that could be on our lists of love to help take our focus away from the heartache and the pain that we feel and back to where Christ is at the center? But the thing is, this letter of St. Paul's in this book of Romans wasn't a list of love for those things that would just make us feel better. It was a list of love for those things that we are to do. Paul's list of love that he gives to the church in Rome are verbs. They're not things. They're not nouns. They're not objects. They're verbs. They're things, actions that we are to be doing. Let love be genuine. Treat one another with mutual affection. Show honor. Be hope-filled. Pray always. Be patient. Show concern for those who are in need. The list that Paul gives to us about what it means to love isn't about a bunch of things or a bunch of people or a bunch of senses. It is a list of action, of things that we are to be doing to show the love of Christ. And so that makes me think again about our love lists, and not just what is on our love list, but how do we love? Let's make a list of how we do love, the ways that we do what Paul asks us to do, to reach out to those who are in need, to rejoice with those who are rejoicing, to weep alongside those who are weeping, to not return an evil for an evil. Paul gives us this tremendous list of things that we are to be doing and not to be doing, in order to share Christ's love in action. For a number of years, I attended a friend of mine's event at his church. It was an empty bowl dinner. I'm going to grab something for a second. It was an empty bowl dinner, and what that meant was that we purchased tickets ahead of time. So we paid our money, we would be able to go to the church. Upon entering, we had our ticket in hand, we would receive a handmade bowl, any bowl that we had chosen, made by local artisans and some by school children. We'd get our empty bowl there to be filled later on as we went downstairs into the fellowship hall of the church to receive soups that had been made by chefs in the area. But in the meantime, to go around to share in fellowship and friendship, this was before the pandemic that we're in now, when we could actually mix and mingle with folks, and to see some local art and to bid on the art as well, all of the money collected from the tickets for the empty bowl dinner as well as the art that was being auctioned off would go to support the church's collaborative food pantry as well as some other social events within that community to help build up the community, to help feed the community, to help support the community. And so people were so joyous. We paid all our money for our ticket, for our little empty bowl, for our art that we were purchasing from auction, just to have a bowl of soup and to listen to what others would tell us about about how to build up, how to support the community, how children were being fed, how families were being nurtured and nourished. We got these bowls when we went to go and visit, and the last time, normally I would choose these big, beautiful bowls that I could then utilize at home for my own soup and remember the importance of going to that event. But the last time, I found this itty-bitty bowl. Not even hardly a bowl, really, but what it says on the inside is the word empath. E-M-P-A-T-H. Well, I grabbed it because I thought it was so beautiful, and I am an empath myself. I feel things very deeply. If someone else is laughing, I'm laughing with them. If someone else is crying, I'm crying with them. If I'm watching the TV and something is a little bit sad, I am weeping. Yesterday morning, I turned on Black Panther, and before anything even happened, I just started to cry because I felt so deeply that loss. But the hard thing for me is taking the feeling and putting it into action. And that is what St. Paul is asking us to do in this lesson from Romans. St. Paul is asking us to rejoice when others are rejoicing and to weep when others are weeping and to do more in the world. Not just to feel love, not just to see love, not just to hold love within our hearts, but to do the act of love in the world, to reach out, not just to know compassion, but to be compassion, to be kind, to be genuine, to be treating one another with mutual affection, to not do an evil for an evil. These words of St. Paul, though beautiful, are a challenge to us, because our love is to be an act for all the world. Paul knew this because he had once been someone who was against Jesus and his followers, and with a turn of heart became one of the greatest evangelists of the church, speaking about love for all, speaking about not oppressing the other, speaking about building up one another, mutual affection, living peaceably together. This is what we hear in the gospel. When Jesus says to Peter, "Get behind me, you are a stumbling block," he doesn't say to Peter, "I'm done with you." He says, "Here's another chance, and another chance, and another chance, and I will build my church upon you." This is what St. Paul says to the church in Rome. Love and love and love and love, even when it's hard, even when it's messy, even when you don't know how to. Keep on doing the act of love. In Jesus' name.